Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled, Who Told You That You Were Naked? Is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
And so by taking of these trees, these leaves, and eating it, it literally imparts life, and that's going to be in eternity. And so that's the way that the tree of life was. If that's the way the tree of life was, I believe that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil also is where we gained a conscience from. God didn't create us with a conscience. That came as a result of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what was the fruit of a conscience? The very first fruit that came was in Genesis chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. We just read that, but it says, the eyes of them both were open, and that they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So the tree, the conscience immediately made us self-conscious. It focused our attention on ourselves. And again, I say that they weren't one bit more naked after they sinned than they were before they sinned. Nothing in the natural changed. It was their perception that changed. So a conscience makes you focus on yourself. A conscience makes you self-aware and focused on self. They had been naked before, but they didn't even notice it. They were so God-conscious that they hadn't even noticed their own nakedness. Boy, that's amazing. That's amazing. And in the New Testament, we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. But let me just put this in, that even if you get so God-conscious that you don't even notice whether you got clothes on or not, have mercy on the rest of us that are still carnal, amen, and wear your clothes. But I'm saying Adam and Eve were so God-conscious, they didn't even know that they were naked. So they became self-aware, they became fixated on self. Shame came to them. They'd had no shame before. But all of a sudden, the conscience brought shame and fear of punishment. Did you know that these are things God never wanted us to have? He never wanted us to be afraid. He didn't create us for rejection. He created us for fellowship. He didn't intend for these things to be this way. But after Adam and Eve sinned, it became necessary to have a conscience. You know, you could take what I've said up until this point and say, well, then, man, it'd be nice just to somehow or another get rid of our conscience. No, for a lost man, a conscience is a necessary evil. Because your conscience makes you aware of your sin and shows you your need for forgiveness. And I personally believe that that's the reason that the Lord had this tree of the knowledge of good and evil there. He knew He had to give us a free choice to serve Him by freedom of choice, or otherwise we wouldn't have truly have been free moral agents. We would have loved Him and served Him because there was no option. He had to give us the option. And I don't believe it's just an accident that the option was this tree of good and the knowledge of good and evil, because the moment they ate of that, this conscience came unto us that even though it has these negative effects such as shame and fear and all of these things, it also provides a good function. And that function is to show us that we have sinned and come short and that we need forgiveness. So I believe that God planned all of this. You know, it says in, I'm not sure the exact verse. I have to look this up. I think it's Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. Let me go back. I got all this written down here someplace. It's my first time to ever use my phone like this. I'm becoming high-tech. So high-tech, I can't find this verse. I know it's right here someplace. Here it is, Revelation 13, 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That verse shows that God knew that we were going to rebel at Him. He knew that we would sin. And Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. long before he even created us, he knew that we would rebel, and he had already planned this, and Jesus had already accepted this, and it was already in the plan of God for him to come and to redeem us. Boy, that's amazing. Boy, we could have a Selah moment right here and pause and think about that. You know, if for some reason, if I could even imagine myself being God, and if I was going to create man, if I knew that they were going to rebel at me and that they were going to do all of these terrible things and the Holocaust and all of the terrible stuff and all of the divorce and the ungodliness and the hatred and the hurt and the pain that would enter the human race, man, I don't think I'd have done it, knowing all of the pain that it was going to cause. But you know, the only way I can understand this is that God saw you and me, those who would accept His payment for sin and who would become new creatures, and we would be born again in His likeness. And He looked at us and thought that you and I were worth all of the pain and all of the suffering and all of this stuff. Man, that's awesome. You know what establishes the value of anything is what you're willing to pay for it. I've seen some of these little baseball cards that you got two or three of them for, you know, one penny when I was a kid. Those things are virtually worthless as far as the actual substance of them. But now they become rare and people will pay $1 million for one of these baseball cards. And that establishes the value of it. You know, you may look at yourself or look at me or other people and think, well, we aren't worth much. But boy, the very fact that God Almighty was willing to send His Son and have His Son die for us puts a huge value on us. And the Scripture here says that He was slain from the foundation of the world. God knew all of this was going to happen. And it was already in the heart and the mind of God. So I believe that that's the reason that He made the tree of the knowledge of good and evil the forbidden fruit, because if man did violate His instructions, which he knew that we would, then by violating it, we would receive this conscience that immediately started condemning us and doing these other things. Let me share some of the results of a conscience here with you, what the Scripture says about what your conscience does. First of all, Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. This shows you that every person has a conscience. It's impossible for you not to have a conscience. We've all got one. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Notice, it's not manifest to us, it's manifest in us. It's manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Boy, this doesn't say that it's vaguely seen, it's clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Again, this goes contrary to what most people believe today. Most people today believe that some people just don't have any conviction over sin and that, you know, it's just okay and stuff like this, and that it's only religion that has imposed this knowledge of right and wrong upon people. And you'll have people say that everything would be so much better if it wasn't for you religious folks that have taught these people all this stuff. This verse right here is saying that God has put it on the inside. He's revealed Himself against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of man. And it's manifest in them. It's already in them. It's like a homing device. This conscience is like a homing device that is constantly telling you that you're failing. And even though that's painful and none of us like it, it's necessary for you. In order to receive salvation, you first of all have to become aware of your need for salvation. And boy, this is one of the things that's really wrong with our society, where they try and make everybody that everybody's okay. And it's okay for you to be a homosexual. It's okay for you to do all of these things. They're trying to justify everything and make everybody feel good about themselves. I tell you, that's not good. People need to know that they are a sinner. Jesus came and died for sinners. You can't get saved unless you're a sinner. You got to acknowledge your sinfulness. You got to be aware of your need for God before you'll ever satisfy it by turning to the Lord. And so this says that He's revealed Himself from heaven. Even His eternal power and Godhead is known. That's talking about Trinity. Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Did you know when I was in Vietnam, I actually got pictures of this, that outside of my brigade headquarters, there was a temple that was like 5 or 6 stories tall, and it was 3 temples built so close to each other that you couldn't even squeeze in between these temples. They were 3 separate buildings, but they were all built together, about 5 stories tall. They had trees growing out of it that had been abandoned for a long time. And I asked about them, and it predated Christianity coming to Vietnam 500 years. 500 years before Christianity reached Vietnam, these temples were there, and it was to a God who was 3 in 1. Now, am I saying that they were worshiping the true God? No, I believe that they perverted it, and it probably wasn't the true worship of God, our God, but nonetheless, it shows you that they had this concept of 3 gods in one. I was in Mexico and I went to Chichen Itza down there where they used to have these games, and they murdered people and they took the people and cut their hearts out and threw them in this thing. And on this, I forgot what you call it, but anyway, it was in stone. It was a carving. There was a God who manifested Himself in 3 parts. So here's Vietnam that had that concept. Here's Mexico that had that concept. How did this happen? There's no way that the people in Vietnam influenced the people in Mexico back thousands of years to do this. It was written in our hearts. We have this intuitive knowledge of God. Everybody knows that there's only one God and you are not Him.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the human conscience. This new teaching titled, Who Told You That You Were Naked? Is available as a brand new book or in a live CD album. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Ask for Who Told You That You Were Naked when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries, and be sure to specify book or CD album. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who were not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request, Who Told You That You Were Naked, when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Hello, this is Andrew Womack, and I just would like to encourage you to help us get the gospel out through social media. We've sent out over 42,000 ministry responses to people who have contacted us through social media, and we would just like to see this increase. So we would like to see you like our Facebook page to share it with other people. We've had 9 salvations that we know of. Of course, there could be a lot more. 13 people baptized in the Holy Spirit. And many testimonies of healings and things that have happened through our live stream broadcast. So we would like to ask you to take just a few seconds to share our Facebook page, and you be a minister of the gospel by sharing this with someone else.